this song that we have been singing, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu and Daya Koramore, it's a very important song. So what I have heard from my Gurudev and Vaishnavas in regard to this kirtan, I will share with you. It's on page 44. I think you all know this kirtan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Koramore, you know? Tama, you all know this kirtan, it's very famous. So, are you sure you know this kirtan? Are you sure? We'll see. If anyone wants to make progress in their spiritual life, praying is essential. Praying is so essential. This kirtan is written by Narottam Das Thakur. And even though it seems like a very simple song, actually, it's extremely deep. And if anyone will sing this kirtan and absorb themselves, following the mood of the author of the kirtan, Narottam Das Thakur, well, then it is certain that their love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will grow day by day. First of all, we should know that by our sadhana, by our own practices, hearing, chanting, remembering, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, serving the deity, preaching and everything, it will not be enough. This will not make us become Krishna conscious alone. It will not be enough. Even Brahma, Vishwadev, all the Mahajans, Prahlad Maharaj, Hanuman, Uddhav, and great Vaishnavas, great devotees, liberated souls, who are there in the spiritual world, they cannot enter Vrindavan. It is such a high place. So what chance do we have? Yani from Helsinki, what chance does Yani from Helsinki have? Lord Brahma cannot make it. Well, so what chance do you have? So you should understand, as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Pad has written, he said, I am like a dwarf and I'm trying to touch the moon. You understand? So if you stretch up, you can like this. You can go so far, but still there's so far you cannot go by yourself. Who will make up the difference? Oh, this is called kripa, mercy. We need some mercy. And it will come to those who make their application for mercy by singing these kirtans. So here, before we sing any song, the first thing you have to do is remember the author of the kirtan, who has written the song. That is the first thing. Because the moods which are in this song, these are not your moods. The moods which have been expressed here, they're not your moods. He's crying, oh Jiva Goswami, please, I'm about to die, please help me. But you've never even seen Jiva Goswami. So these are not your moods. These are his moods. So you should not think, oh, I am singing this kirtan. If you look, it says in the last line, Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Das. Narottam Das is singing this kirtan. It's not written here, Ramachandra Sangha Mage Manoharini Dasi. It's not written anywhere. So it's written Narottam Das. So don't have a big false ego thinking, I am singing this kirtan. Oh, false ego, being so proud. I am the doer, I am this body. No. Oh, you should think, today I am lucky. Why? Because the sound of the sweet singing of Narottam Das Thakur is coming to my ears in the form of this kirtan. I'm lucky to take his remnants. You know, if there's any pure devotee, what will happen if you take their remnants from their plates? What will happen? Why do we take the remnants? If any pure devotee comes and they take, if on their plate there's anything left, oh, we are very eager to take what is left. Why? Because we're hungry. Why? Because it's so full of vitamins and minerals. Why? Why do we want to take the remnants of a pure devotee? Can you explain? Huh? Why? You?
To love meditation.
Ah, yes, yes. If you take their remnants, some of their mood will come in you. Just like if you eat food cooked by a materialistic person, what will happen? Your mind will think of sinful things. And if you take the food which is the remnant of a pure devotee, then what's in his heart, it will come in your mind also. all Krishna's pastimes will come automatically. It's very powerful. So, we want to take the remnants of Narottam Das Thakur, but the only problem is, he left about 400 years ago. So there aren't any remnants left, it seems. No, his remnants are here. Remnant means that which has touched the lips of Narottam Das Thakur. So this kirtan touched his lips because he was singing it. This kirtan has touched the lips of Narottam Das Thakur. So this is Narottam Thakur's remnants. So we don't think, I am singing this kirtan in a very humble mood, praying to Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, Narottam Thakur, you're so kind to give me your remnants, that nectar from your lips in the form of this kirtan, and then we can sing. So here, Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, daya kara more, toma bina ke dayalu jagata sangsare, potita pavana hetu tabayavata, mosama potita prabhu napayibaya. In these two verses, Narottam Thakur is saying, I am so fallen. Many, many lifetimes I've been in this material world, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, only fighting with others, always angry and lusty. I have many attachments. Despite hearing all the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my heart has not melted. Lord Chandas Thakur said, Pashu paki jure pashane vidare shuni tara guna gata. That hearing the sweet pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even birds and animals, they started to cry. Even stones began to melt. So, I am not a bird, I am not animal, I am not a piece of stone, but I hear the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am not crying, my heart isn't melting. What is the cause? What is the cause? Aparad. Namaparad. Committing offense to the holy name. Vaishnava aparad, offending pure Vaishnavas. Seva aparad, dham aparad, so many types of offenses. Therefore, my heart is harder than the stone even. So he's saying, oh, mosama patita prabhu na paibaya, you will not find anyone so wretched as myself. I am so wretched. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, I am praying for your causeless mercy. I don't deserve anything, but I know that you have something called causeless mercy. How do I know? Because I heard that when you were going to Vrindavan, on the way you walked through one forest. What was the name of that forest? Do you know? Jarikanda forest. Do you know Jarikanda forest? When Mahaprabhu was going through Jarikanda forest, he was absorbed in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, and he was crying, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 hey, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava Parima,
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Parima.
At that time, his mood was so high. Jaha bone deki taha mone Vrindavan, Shaila deki Brahmahoy ehi Govardhan, Jaha nadi deki mone Kalinde Mahaprema Veshi Prabhu Pare na Chekande. In Chaitanya Charitamrita is written, he was so absorbed in the mood of Radharani, if he would see a forest, he would think, oh, it's Vrindavan, it's Niduban, Sevakunj, Dirsamir, Madhuban, oh, places of Brajmanda. If he would see a hill, he would think, hey, Giriraj, Antaya Madhir Abala Aridasavarya, oh, Giriraj Maharaj, Govardhan, oh, show your mercy on me. If he would see any river, he would think, Jaha Nadi Deki Taha Mane Kalindi. Oh, this is Jamuna. I'm in Vrindavan. And he would be singing, dancing, crying and falling on the ground. At that time, oh, Prem was emanating from his body like radiation. Any animals who were walking past, if any deers were there, deers are usually very much afraid. But the deers seeing him, oh, they come up to him attracted by the sweet fragrance of his body, transcendental body. And they also the deers are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And tigers are very ferocious. If a tiger will see a deer, the tiger will jump on the deer and tear the deer to pieces. But when the tiger saw the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and felt the love emanating from his transcendental body and from his sweet singing of Krishna's names, then what did the tiger do? Oh, all his false ego was gone. He could not remember, I am a tiger. He remembered, Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And the tiger is also chanting, Hare Krishna. Mahamantra, like this. And tigers and deer, they would usually kill each other. But now what are they doing? Oh, embracing and kissing also. A very wonderful thing. Also, any snakes are very deadly. Any snakes would see Mahaprabhu, also they became infected with love of God. And snakes also chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So many snakes. And birds, all animals in the jungle, became overpowered by love of God. Only by looking at them. If from a distance, Mahaprabhu would glance at one big and very dangerous wild elephant, then immediately the elephant would fall down on his knees to give pranam to Mahaprabhu. You know, elephants have knees like this and they would drop down like this and raise their trunks in the air and call out, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How is it possible? It's impossible. This is called Ahoituki Kripa, causeless mercy. So Narottam Thakur is praying, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Doya Koramore, O Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I know that you have something called causeless mercy. You can give praying for no reason to people who don't even deserve it. I want to ask you a question. That an elephant in the jungle who got Krishna praying from Mahaprabhu, how many rounds did he chant that day? How many rounds? Nothing. And the snakes? Did the snake go to Mangalatik? No? And what about the tigers? Had they distributed any books? Nothing. So, without any sadhana, Mahaprabhu has a power. He can deliver you. He has that power. So, Narottam Thakur is thinking, I'm trying so hard, but what can I do? I'm only chanting. Narottam Thakur is saying, oh, I'm only chanting 64 rounds. Alas, alas. How many rounds are you chanting?
Sometimes once.
Once at all? Hey. I think perhaps, in this room, maybe no one is chanting more than 32 rounds. Maybe. So, he's saying, I'm only chanting 64 rounds and doing so many things, but it's not enough. What can I do? Oh, please, give me causeless mercy. So he's praying like this. But then, he was praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was thinking, then he thought, oh, I'm praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still, my heart is not melting. And Mahaprabhu never gave me any mercy. So, I'll have to pray to Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know Jagai and Madai? Jagai and Madai. They were very dangerous criminals. They were going around beating everyone, sometimes killing, raping, stealing, burning people's houses down, always intoxicated. Such bad characters. And when Nityananda Prabhu, in a very humble way, he asked them, oh brothers, please, chant the holy names of Krishna. What? We'll show you. And Madai, he took a pot and he threw it and smashed the head of Nityananda Prabhu. And blood was coming down. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running there. And when he saw the blood on Nityananda Prabhu's face, he became furious. And he called, hey, Chakra! Immediately, Chakra came. Like fire, spinning in his hands. And he was just about to cut off the head of Jagai and Madai with his chakra. And then they fell at his feet. Oh, please save us, please save us. So then Nityananda Prabhu, he said, oh my lord, please. You should know that actually Jagai, when Madai was trying to smash my head with the pot, Jagai was holding him and saying, what are you doing? Leave him alone. He's an innocent sadhu. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looked at Jagai. He said, oh, you tried to save my Nitai. You tried to save my Nityananda Prabhu. Come here. Oh, and he embraced him. And when he embraced him, then this hardened criminal, this very vicious personality, oh, his hair standing on end, his whole body started to shake, tears coming from his eyes. and calling out, Krishna, Krishna. He fell on the ground, boom, unconscious. How? Oh, by Krishna praying. When Madai saw this, he thought, oh, he's experienced ecstatic love of God. I also want to experience Krishna praying. Oh, Mahaprabhu, please give me Krishna praying. Mahaprabhu said, I'll never give you Krishna praying. Madai said, why not? You gave Krishna praying to him. We're brothers. We did everything together. We were lying together. We were stealing together. We were beating people up together. We were taking drugs together. We did everything together. So you give him Krishna praying. Why you don't give Krishna praying to me? He said, oh, you cut the head of my Nityananda Prabhu. Unless you get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, I'll never give you Krishna praying. So then Madai, he went to Nityananda Prabhu and fell at his feet. And Nityananda Prabhu forgave him and embraced him, and he also got Krishna praying. So Nityananda Prabhu is so merciful. That person to whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not give mercy, Nityananda Prabhu, he's so crazy. He has no discrimination at all. Oh, he can even give them mercy. So Nityananda Prabhu is so kind. Yesterday I was telling the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das could not get the mercy of Mahaprabhu until he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu is very merciful. So then Narottam Thakur is praying. Ha ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Oh Nityananda Prabhu, you are always immersed in transcendental love and affection. But I am always suffering so much, afflicted by so many sorrows and miseries in this world. So please, give me your merciful glance. Please kindly glance on me, just one time. Nityananda Prabhu is so merciful. My Vrindavan Das Thakur, he has written, Yate istam re bata kuru hari hani dana manisham tachova samsaram buddhi taranadayo mayalagat idam bahu spota ratati ratayanya patigiham bhajanityanandam bhajanatru kandam niravadi. Nityananda Prabhu, he's doing kirtan, thousand devotees everywhere dancing day and night. All the children go mad running out of their homes. Their mothers are thinking, where did my children go? And they're all dancing for days and nights without stopping in the kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu. And he stops his kirtan and raises his arm in the air. Why? Oh, this means he's taking a vow. He's saying, enough! Enough. Oh, you're burning in the cycle of birth and death. Many, many lifetimes suffering. Now, enough. I don't want to see this anymore. I am taking a vow myself today. What vow is that? If any of you, only once, you chant the name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, with honor and with respect, or even if you chant it without any honor, without any respect, even if you only chant it for a joke, I don't care, you chant this Maha Mantra one time, I'm taking a vow today, I take responsibility to deliver you from the ocean of birth and death. I take all responsibility on my own head. So please, I'm begging you, only once, chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you're not delivered from the ocean of birth and death, oh, then you can make a complaint to me. I take all responsibility. Nityananda Prabhu is making this promise. So Nityananda Prabhu is so merciful. Very, very merciful indeed. So in this verse, Narottam Thakur is praying to Nityananda Prabhu. So he's thinking, I am praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And in the core of my heart, I am begging them, please give you your merciful glance to me. But the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not coming in my heart. So who can help me? Who can help me? Then he remembered, I'll take help from Advaita Acharya. Why? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu come to this world? Who called them to come here? Who? Advaita Acharya. Before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya was sitting in his home in Shantipur, and he was thinking, in this world, everyone is just engaged in karma, fruitive activities. And others are engaged in jnana. They are speculating, trying to understand the absolute truth is just a light. Just Brahma, one light. And they're trying to merge into the light. And others, they're doing yoga to get mystic power and to realize Paramatma and become one with Paramatma. No one can be happy by all these things. Never. All the people, they're following the scriptures on logic and astrology, and they're worshipping Kali, Chandima, Ganesh, Durga, Shiva, and so many deities. No one knows what is pure bhakti. Oh, Krishna, please come to this world. So Advaitacharya, crying with tears and taking Tulsi and offering Tulsi with his tears, he was worshipping his Shalagram Shila and shouting very loudly, Krishna! So loud. Oh, the throne of Narayan in Vaikuntha was trembling. Supreme Lord thought, oh, someone's calling me. I must go at once. So because of the loud shouts of Advaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came in this world. So then, Narottam Das Thakur is thinking, Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they won't come in my heart. But if I pray to Advaitacharya, then he can call them, then maybe they'll come. It may be that they'll come. And Advaitacharya, he's very kind. He has such compassion for me. Why? Because, where do the jivas come from? Do you know? Where do the jivas come? We are jivas. Jivat. Where do the jivas come from? Do you know?
Before, so I don't know.
Oh, it's very easy. You just read in Prabhupada's books. Everywhere it's written that the jivas have come from Mahavishnu. You read Brahma Samhita. Have you read Brahma Samhita? And in so many places in the Bhagavatam, you know Mahavishnu, he glances on Maya and the jivas come out of his eyes. Also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnere Nitya Das, Jivera Tatasto Shakti Beda Bred Prakash. The jiva is Prakash, that means manifest from Tatasta Shakti, Tatasta. You know? So one thing is called the spiritual world, that is called Antaranga Shakti, the internal potency. You know, Antaranga Shakti, the internal potency. Something else is called Bahiranga Shakti, that means Maya, the material world. And in between the spiritual world and the material world, there's one line. That line is called Tatasta. The word Tatasta means the margin between the spiritual and the material world. So Mahaprabhu said very clearly, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnare Nityadas. You are the eternal servant of Krishna by Swarup. That's your nature. But Jivera Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Veda Veda Prakash. You came out of Tatasta Shakti. You have not come from Antaranga Shakti, the spiritual world. And you have not come from Bahiranga Shakti, the material world. You have come from Tatasta Shakti, the line in between. From there, you have fallen, but not from the spiritual world, from Tatasta. From Tatasta you can look this way and that. And if you look towards Maya, and you see, oh, very nice, discotheque. Oh, very nice. Very nice, the Star Wars movie and everything. You see the material energy and you become attracted, then the jiva goes to there. In Prema Vivarta it's written, Krishna bahir mukha jiva boga vancha kare nikatasta mayatari japatiya dare. When the jiva turns away from the Krishna and he looks towards the material energy and wants to enjoy, then nikatasta mayatari japatiya dare. Maya is very close by and she strikes him down into the material world. So Maya is very close by. Maya is very close by Goloka Vrindavan. Nikatasta Maya Tari Jakpatiyadari. Maya is very close by and he strikes down the jiva. So if the jiva is in Goloka Vrindavan, Maya is very close by Goloka Vrindavan? No, never. Maya is this side of the causal ocean. The Tatasta, Maya is on this side. Maya cannot go past the causal ocean. And on the other side of the causal ocean, what is there? Brahma Jyoti. And in Brahma Jyoti, millions and millions of Vaikuntha planets. And going past all the Vaikuntha planets, you come to Nrsingha Lok, the planet of Lord Nrsingadev. Oh, go past there. You will come to Dwaraka, past there, Mathura, past there. Then you come to Vrindavan. So Maya is close to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very, very far away from Maya. So here it's written that when the jiva falls, Maya is very close to him. That means you're in the Tatasta. Maya on one side and Brahma Jyoti on the other. And when you look towards Maya, then Maya being very close by strikes you down. Everywhere it's written. Prabhupada has written in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 6th canto, no one falls from Vaikuntha. But only for neophyte devotees, he has sometimes said, oh, once we were all with Krishna. Otherwise, the neophyte devotees will think, why did Krishna make me in the Tatastha so I would fall down? And they become angry with Krishna. So to hide this from neophytes, oh, Prabhupada said, once we were all with Krishna. But once a devotee asked Prabhupada, you said we were once all with Krishna. How is it that we were with Krishna? Prabhupada said, just like you were with your father before you were born. Why? Because your Atma is in the semen of the father. Like this. Because everything is inside Krishna, so you were within Krishna. But before you were born, when your soul was in the semen of your father, at that time did you know your father? Were you taking part in the pastimes of your father? You have no idea. But you were with him, but you cannot understand. So in this way, oh, we were with Krishna. Why? Because everything is inside Krishna. You know, Madhya Yashoda, she looked inside Krishna's mouth and she saw everything was there. So in that way, you were with Krishna. But not in his lila. Oh, in his lila, yes. But not Vrindavan lila, Srishti lila. That means the creation lila. The creation of this world is also one lila. So when Mahavishnu creates, then he glances and the jivas come out from his body and enter into the material world. Very easy to understand. So the jivas have come from Mahavishnu. And who is Advaitacharya? Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. So here, Narottam Thakur is thinking, oh, all of us jivas, we all came from Mahavishnu, so he's like our father. So if the father sees that the children are suffering, then his heart is melting and he's so merciful to them. He wants to help his children. So he's thinking, oh, Advaitacharya, you're Mahavishnu, and we have all come from you. You are like our father, so you should be kind to us. We are yours. So he's praying here to Advaita Acharya. And then Swarup Damodar, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Lokanath Das Goswami. Now one may think that, oh, if I pray to Gornitai, then if they give me their mercy, then that's enough. So why should I pray to Rupa Goswami? Why should I pray to Raghunath Das Goswami? Good question. Why is he praying to Swarup Damodar? If you just pray to Gornitai, they'll give mercy. This will be enough. Is it correct? Is it correct? The mercy of Gornitai is enough?
That's what Prabhupada said.
Is it? Did he really? Oh. Where? Where is it written? Can you give me any quotation? I can give you a quotation. Prabhupada has written in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not Prabhupada. Krishna Das Kaviraj. Prabhupada has translated. What? There is written, Dui Bai Ridiya Rakshalyandaka Dui Bhagavata Sange Karna Sakshatka Eka Bhagavata Bada Bhakti Rasa Shastra Ala Bhagavata Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra Dui Bhagavata Diya Prema Bhakti Ras Taha Ridaya Tara Prema Hayabash. This is Siddhanta. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying, oh, all are praying for the mercy of Gornitai, but you should know what that mercy is. What is the mercy of Gornitai? Krishna's Kaviraj is describing it very nicely. He's saying that when you're in the dark, you can't see anything. But when the sun rises, then light comes and you can see. Oh, this is a pot, this is a pan, oh, this is a piano. Like that, you can see the difference between things. So in the same way, he's saying that Dui Bhai Ridhya Rakshalyandakar, when the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, then some darkness goes out of your heart. And then you can recognize two things. Dui Bhagavata Sange Karna Sakshatka. What are the two things that you can recognize by the mercy of Gornitai? You can recognize two types of Bhagavata. So here, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is saying, some darkness will go away from your heart, and then you can recognize two things that you never recognized before. He's saying, Dui Bhagavata Karna Sakshatka. The mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu causes you to come in contact directly, face to face, with two things. One is, that means two types of Bhagavat. You will meet face to face with two types of Bhagavat. So what are those two types of Bhagavat? He's saying, Eka Bhagavata Bara Bhakti Rasa Shastra. One Bhagavat is the great book, the Rasa Shastra, the book of Ras. What is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. That's one. So it may be that, have you met Srimad Bhagavatam? Have you met? Yes, you've met Srimad Bhagavatam. So some mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu has come. But is all mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu come? He said, Ara Bhagavata Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. And the other Bhagavat is a devotee who is full of bhakti rasa. At first, you cannot recognize the difference between devotees. Oh, this is devotee, this is devotee, this is devotee. Oh, he is big, big guru. And then he falls down and, oh my God, I thought he was big guru. What's going on? You cannot tell the difference. But when the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu comes, then you can see who is who. And then you will meet face to face with Ara Bhagavata Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. Patra means like a cup. There's a type of devotee who is like a cup. Why? Because inside that cup, there's so much rasa, so much mellow, so many sweet emotions. So when you meet a devotee who is full of very sweet emotions of Vrindavan, oh, overflowing, he is called Bhakti Rasa Patra, like a container of Bhakti Rasa. And by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they'll not give you prema directly. They'll give you the power to recognize this type of devotee. Then Kalwaj Goswami is saying, what is the next installment of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and Mahaprabhu's mercy? Dui Bhagavat Dwari Diya Prema Bhakti Ras Tahara Ridaya Bhakti Krishna Prema Hayabash. He's saying that when you associate with the Rasik Vaishnav, those who are tasting all the mellows of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, by associating with them and hearing their Harikatha and studying Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, by the action of these two, they make this Bhakti Ras go in your heart. It comes in your heart, Bhakti Ras. And this rasa is so powerful that it controls Krishna. And then you get Krishna praying. This is the method, this is the process. So therefore, here Narottam Thakur is praying to these Vaishnavas because they are all Bhakti Rasa Patra. Swarup Damodar, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. He's praying here also to Lokanath Das Goswami. Who is Lokanath Das Goswami? He is the Diksha Guru of Narottam Das Thakur. He gave him Diksha. And who is Jiva Goswami? That's his Shiksha Guru. So first he took Diksha from Lokanath Das Goswami. And Lokanath Das Goswami sent him to Jiva Goswami to take Shiksha. So this is Vaishnav culture. But today we see anyone, they take Diksha from their Guru. And when their Guru leaves, they think, now I am Guru. I became Guru of the whole world. Acharya. This is my zone. My zone is Scandinavia, my zone is America, my zone is Africa. Like this, what is this bogus? Here you see that Narottam Das Thakur, he took Diksha from his Gurudev, and afterwards then he took Shiksha from Jiva Goswami. Not only Jiva Goswami, others also. So here he's praying to all of them, and he's praying to Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Swarup Damodar. There's a very important reason for this. What is the aim and object of Narottam Das Thakur's life? What does he want? What does he want in his life? He wants to get Krishna praying. But what kind of Krishna praying? This is the question. Unless you know what kind of praying you want, then you won't know who to pray to. You won't know who to pray to. Who can give you this praying? Hey, you, what type of praying do you want? You want to love Krishna, but how do you want to love him? Like Prahlad Maharaj?
I have heard that we should, you know, try to love like manjus.
Like the manjus?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why did you say that word? Yes. All the acharyas in our line, every acharya, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, everyone, Srila Prabhupada, all are manjaris. That manjari mood means they don't want to meet directly with Krishna. This is not their idea. The gopis, Lalita and Vishakha, they can meet with Krishna directly and embrace him and meet in a secret place with him. But the manjaris, they don't want this. They want that Radharani will meet with Krishna. This is their only desire. If Radharani is happy, they're happy. If Radharani feels separation, they feel separation. If Krishna will try to meet with them, or they will run away, or they will fall at his feet and beg him, please, don't do this to me. I don't want this happiness. You give me the higher happiness of meeting with Radharani. They have firm nishtha in Radharani. Even if Krishna becomes unhappy, then they don't care as long as Radharani is happy. They have so much love. This is called Radha Nishtha. So all in our line, oh, they pray, Tambul apana pada madana payodana visara adibi, brinda aranya maheshwarim priyatiyaya stoshanti priya, pana presta saki kilada pikilasan kochita bhumikai, keli bhumi shu rupa mandri mukasta dasika sanshre. Raghunath Das is saying, I am taking shelter of Rupa Manjari and all the Manjaris in her group. Why? Because they can render such nice service. Tambul arpana, they make tambul. You know tambul? Bito, you know tambul? No, you don't know. Oh, it's one leaf. If you chew it, then your breath will become so very tasty and attractive. So making tambul for an offering to Radha Krishna. Tambul arpana pada madana. Oh, massaging the lotus feet of Radharani. Payodana abhisar adivi. Taking Radharani to Abhisar. Abhisar means, you know, Radharani, she's married to Abhimanyu. So she cannot meet with Krishna. The only time she can meet with Krishna is secretly. So in the middle of the night, she will have to sneak out of the house, past her mother-in-law who's sleeping very quietly, going out from the house and into the forest, and meet with Krishna secretly in the forest. So to take Radharani secretly, in the middle of the night to meet with Krishna, this is called Abhisar. So Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, oh, I want to serve like this. Taking Radharani on Abhisar. If Radharani's eyes are looking here and there at that time, she thinks anyone might see her sneaking out from the house, going through the forest. She becomes afraid. She sees someone standing at the end of the on the end of the road. She becomes afraid and hiding. And then any Manjari, like Rupa Manjari or Rati Manjari, they'll say, Radharani, wait there, I'll go and see who it is. And they'll go and look, and only it's a tree stump. You know, like here in the garden, you have one tree, broken tree. And then they come back, it's okay, Shrimati Radharani, it's only a tree stump, come on, let's go. And then again taking, and going to meet with Krishna. This is called Abhisar. Abhisar Adibi. Vrindaranya mayaswarim pratyaya stoshanti priya. In this way, I'll try to satisfy Radharani by my heart and soul, day and night. This is all I want. Oh, do you want to be like Lalita and Vishakha, Radharani's best friends? No, I don't want to be like her friends. I only want to be her maidservant. Why not? Prana presta saki kilada kila sankochita bhumikai. Keli bhumishu rupa mandri mukasta sansaye. Oh, I don't want to be like Radharani's friends. Why? Because in the presence of her friends, she's very shy. If Radharani and Krishna will meet together in any forest grove, then if her friends are there watching, then she'll be very shy. So the friends will have to go away. But if her manjaris, they are younger, and they are like her own body, they're like her own limbs. If her manjaris are there, then Radharani is not shy at all. Oh, in any way, she can meet with Krishna and do anything. I think that if you go in the bathroom or to take a bath, then at that time, oh, you can take off your clothes. But if you are taking bath here in front of everyone, you will not do that. Why? Well, because you will be shy, like this. So Radha and Krishna, they become so shy if their friends are there. But if Manjaris are there, oh, no. Manjaris are like Radharani's own body. Your right hand is not shy in the presence of your left hand. So like this, Manjaris are so close to Radharani. So they can come and go. If Radharani and Krishna are meeting in any kunj, then Lalita and Vishakha will come. And they will say to Rupa Manjari, Rupa Manjari, can we come inside? Rupa Manjari will look inside and say, no, you better stay outside. You should wait. Huh? They say, can we come yet? And Rupa Manjari, okay, now you can come. And then Lalita and Vishakha, Radharani's friends, they will go. But the Manjaris, they will not ask anyone. Oh, just they will walk right inside. No problem. Come and go as they please. But the Lalita and Vishakha, those gopis who are Sakis, same age as Radharani, though they are higher than the Manjaris, they are higher and they're Radharani's best friends. But still, they hesitate. And Manjaris can come and go and serve at any time. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, I don't want to become gopi like Lalita and Vishakha. I want to become like Rupa Manjari. So here Narottam Thakur is praying to Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Why? Because Sanatan Goswami is Labanga Manjari. Because Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. And Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari. So he's praying, oh, be merciful to me, so I can be with you, and under your guidance, following you, I can serve Radha and Krishna. So we have to pray to them. Only praying to Gaur Nithai will not fulfill your aim and object. By praying to Gaur Nithai, they'll give the association of any Rasik Vaishnava. And by hearing from them, then you'll start to think, oh, this gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's giving. So nice. I want this. How can I get it? Who can help me? They will tell you, you should pray to Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. They have power to help you. I give you one example that my Gurudev told me. It's very, very nice. You know, the President of the United States, he's very powerful. He controls the whole country. And he also has so many ministers, like the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Defense, the Minister of so many departments, Social Security, or the Minister of Health. So he has so many ministers in the government. And he is the most powerful. But the ministers, they're also very powerful. They're also very, very powerful. But the president, in his own house where he lives, he has one maid, like a housekeeper. She comes there every day. She has no power at all. She's just like an ordinary woman. She has no sense. She's just a housekeeper. She goes there every day and she dusts the piano and she sweeps the floor and she changes the toilet roll in the bathroom and she does all the cleaning in the house like this. So she's not an important person. She's not powerful. But every day she's doing some service, little service in the house like this. Now, if you want to meet the Prime Minister, the President of that country, inside his house when he's at home, then who can help you? If you go to the Finance Minister, he can help you. Because he lives somewhere else. He doesn't go in to meet with him when he's at home just walking around, taking it easy when he wakes up in the morning. He wakes up in the morning, the Finance Minister is there and the Defense Minister is there? No, not there. But who is there? Oh, the maid in the house is there. When he wakes up in the morning, like this. His maid comes, brings him a cup of tea. Thank you very much. Then he gets up and he just puts a towel. He just has a towel around his waist and goes into the bathroom. And she's just cleaning, sweeping the floor like this. So, if that the maid in the house, she's not an important person, but you're her friend, then she can bring you. One day, the maid of the president brought her friend. Her friend's name was Kaiser, okay? So, she brought her friend Kaiser into the house. And they came into the house, and they were just waiting outside the bedroom of the president. So the president, he woke up in the morning, and he took a towel, he put a towel around his waist, and he was walking out of his room to go into the bathroom. And he was just walking into the bathroom, and he saw his maid standing there. Oh, and Kaiser was standing next to his maid. So he looked and said, oh, good morning. And the maid said, good morning. And he said, oh, who's this person? So then the maid said, oh, this is my friend Kaiser. She wanted to meet you. And then the president said, oh, shake hands, pleased to meet you. Like this. And then he went into the bathroom and shut the door. Like this. So this maid, she has no power at all, but she has one power. At that time, in a very intimate moment, when he's at home and very relaxed, and only walking around with a towel on like this, going in the bathroom, anytime, that maid can bring you to meet with him. But the president, the finance minister, the defense minister, and all the powerful members of the in the Pentagon, they cannot do this. They cannot do this. So in the same way, Lalita and Vishakha and all those gopis who are like Radharani's friends, oh, they are powerful. But the Manjaris, like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, they are not so powerful like Lalita and Vishakha. It's true. But they have one special thing. What is that? Oh, they can take you and they can bring you to meet with Radha and Krishna in a very private, secret moment. And you can see those pastimes of Radha Krishna that no one else can see. And therefore, all the acharyas in our line, they only want to have a mood like this. And always praying to Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So he's praying. There, I am feeling somewhat frustrated because in every word of this sangha, there are many, many meanings. And I'm having to go very quickly because I only have 1 hour and skipping only over so many things. But only I want to give you some idea of some of the things which are in this sangha. So that when you chant this sangha and when you're praying, you remember all of these things and you'll be very much absorbed. If you chant Hare Krishna and you pray, but you're not absorbed, you cannot realize anything. If you chant 1,000 rounds, but your mind is going here and there, you'll not realize anything. But only chanting a few rounds, but being very deeply absorbed, oh, Krishna will come in your heart and perform his pastimes there. But you should have a very bona fide guru unless you have a bona fide guru and rasik association, you cannot realize these things. Try to have good guru and good association, and then pray and be absorbed. So now, in the last line, Narottam Thakur is saying, Daya kora shri acharya prabhu sunivas ramachandra sangamage narottam das. This is very deep. He's praying here to Srinivas Acharya. Who is Srinivas Acharya? Is Srinivas Acharya his guru? No. Srinivas Acharya is his godbrother. He's praying to his godbrother here. And his godbrother, not by diksha. They don't have the same diksha guru. Srinivas Acharya is the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Narottam Das Thakur is disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. But they both have the same shiksha guru. They're both under the guidance of Jiva Goswami. Now, he's praying to Srinivas Acharya. Why? Because even though Srinivas Acharya is his godbrother, by Shiksha Guru connection, Srinivas Acharya speaks very beautiful Harikatha. So beautiful. And they had many pastimes together. I think if you get the chance, you should try to read about the lives of Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Ramachandra Kaviraj and all. I will only tell you, give some idea of how great they were from their lives. Only I have 5 minutes left. So, Srinivas Acharya, one day, he was sitting and he was chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And he became absorbed and he went into a trance. He was not moving. And his family, he had, I think, two or three wives. And they saw that he was in a trance and they left him. But after one day he was still in a trance. After 2 days he was still in a trance. After 3 days he was still in a trance. His wives were thinking, oh, if he doesn't come out of trance, then his body will like starve to death and he'll leave his body and he'll go to Goloka Vrindavan, and then how will we have his association? Who will speak Harikatha to us? Who will give us mercy? So they were crying, oh, our husband will leave, what can we do? So then one of his disciples said, okay, I know what to do. We will call Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Kaviraj, here he's saying, Ramachandra Sangamage Narottam Das. Narottam is saying, I'm begging. Mage means begging. I'm begging for the association of Ramachandra Kaviraj. So then, the devotee is called Ramachandra Kaviraj because he's the most dear disciple of Srinivas Acharya. And they said, oh Ramachandra Kaviraj, please help us. Your Gurudev has gone into a trance for 3 days and we think that he may leave this world. Can you help? So then, Ramachandra Kaviraj said, okay, I'll see what I can do. So they made a seat for Ramachandra Kaviraj right next to his Gurudev, Srinivas Acharya. And Ramachandra Kaviraj came and he sat down on the seat next to his guru and he took his mala and he began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And he became absorbed. After a few moments, he went into trance and he was also unconscious. So now, try to see this in your heart. Ramachandra Kaviraj is sitting on this seat and he's unconscious in samadhi, in trance. And his guru is sitting next to him, Srinivas Acharya, he's also unconscious in a trance. So from the outside, it looks like two people only sitting there. But where were they? Do you know where they were? Oh, they were in Vrindavan, on the bank of Jamuna. Ramachandra Kaviraj immediately found himself in Vrindavan and he saw what was going on. Radharani was standing on the bank of Jamuna. And she'd just taken bath there. And all the gopis, the manjaris, they had dressed her very, very nicely. But one thing was missing. What was that? Her nose ring. So when she'd taken bath, somehow or other, a nose ring had come out in the water. So her shringar, her decoration, is not complete without nose ring. So all the manjaris, they were thinking, oh, we have to help Radharani find her nose ring. So all the manjaris, they were in the Jamuna and they were swimming here and there and looking everywhere and looking on the bank trying to find Radharani's nose ring. So this is why Srinivas Acharya did not come back for 3 days. Because in his trance, he was on the bank of the Jamuna in Vrindavan. Who is Srinivas Acharya? Oh, he is Mani Manjari. So Mani Manjari was looking everywhere. When Ramachandra Kaviraj began to chant, in his spiritual body, he found himself on the bank of the Jamuna. Who is Srinivas Acharya? That Ramachandra Kaviraj. He is Karun Manjari. So Karun Manjari, she also took off her cloth and jumped in the Jamuna and was looking, helping Mani Manjari and other Manjaris look for Radharani's nose ring. So there were some lotus flowers and one lotus flower had a stem that went up like this and then separated into two, and there were two lotuses growing from one stem. And in the middle of the two stems, Radharani's nose ring was there. So Karun Manjari took that nose ring and said, "Oh, I found it, I found it." And then all the Manjaris were dancing, they were so happy. Karun Manjari gave that to Mani Manjari. Mani Manjari means his guru, Srinivasacharya. Mani Manjari gave it to Vishakha. Vishakha gave it to Lalita, and Lalita Sakhi took the nose ring and put it in the nose of Srimati Radharani. Oh, then they were all happy. So now their service was complete. Then Srinivasacharya and Ramachandra Kaviraj, they came back into their material bodies. They came out of trance, and both of them, they opened their eyes and looked at each other. Both of them began laughing, and they embraced each other and crying, and everyone was so happy. Oh, Jai Guru Dev, the Guru came back. How? By the mercy of Ramachandra Kaviraj, he brought him back from the spiritual world, out from his trance. So Narottam Thakur is thinking, "Oh, Srinivasacharya, Ramachandra Kaviraj, please be merciful to me. I want to be with you there serving Radharani in Golok Vrindavan." So this is the meaning of this song. I try to explain something. When you're singing this song, you should meditate on these things, and then you become deeply absorbed, and it's sure that some realization will come. Jai Ho. Vancha Kaupatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavata Apitita Bhavata.